If you take your Bible, please, and open to the book of Lamentations. We may have Lamentations trying to find it. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, kind of in the middle there. Small book. I'm going to read a little bit to you from that toward the end of the message. Our goal for this service and for this month is to magnify the faithfulness of God, to extol His chesed, His loving kindness, His steadfastness. The Bible tells us that God's faithfulness is incomparable. Who is a strong Lord like unto thee? To thy faithfulness, the psalmist said. God said, my loving kindness I will not utterly take away. I will not allow my faithfulness to fail. Psalm 36, thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens. Thy faithfulness reacheth unto the clouds. Magnificent faithfulness, immeasurable faithfulness. Everlasting faithfulness. Psalm 119, thy faithfulness is unto all generations. And God's faithfulness stretches in the scripture from Genesis to Revelation, from the beginning of time, from the beginning of civilizations. And then there was Noah and God's faithfulness to Noah, and Abram and Isaac and Jacob, to the end of the Bible. When it speaks about the time when our Lord Jesus is going to come back to earth, he describes God as faithful. He says, I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. He that sat upon him was called faithful, true, and righteous. He does judge and make war. God's faithfulness is demonstrated. I want you to think, we've looked at the history of just this little church, and yet God's faithfulness to his promise. Jesus said, I will build my church. And here we are. Jesus, who was he? A little Jewish man lived 2,000 years ago in a small, born in an insignificant village, Bethlehem, raised in kind of a rough town, Nazareth. Walked the streets of Galilee. Why would he be important 2,000 years later? I mean, who else do we know from back then? That Jesus who walked the dusty streets of those towns, ministering to people, ended up healing the sick, raising the dead, dumbfounding the scholars with his wisdom, receiving to himself the rejected and the fallen and the offscouring of society. And then he himself was rejected and forsaken by those that he loved, and he was executed by those that hated him. But that seemingly insignificant Jew that lived 2,000 years ago came back from the dead. That's why we are here. He is the faithful witness, the one who was dead and now is alive and is alive forevermore. Back then, he built his church using the apostles and Christians. And today, 2017, people are meeting all over the world, and they are singing praises to Jesus Christ in various locations. And one of those locations is 205 East Waterford Street, right here. Think about it. We assemble, we pray, we study, we serve, we sing, and we worship him who, had he not risen from the dead, would be maybe not even a small footnote in the dustbins of history. And yet here we are, 2,000 years later, celebrating his faithfulness. We thank God for his faithfulness to this little local church over the last 150 years. But what is this church anyway? What is Bible? It's not a street address. It's not a building. Jesus didn't promise to build buildings or cathedrals or campuses. He promised to build his church. We are the church. He promised to save and to sanctify and to secure forever people. We are the church. Why do we still exist today as a local church? Why does our ministry now reach dozens of countries around the world as we pray for missionaries and we support them? Why do people come every week to this church and sing and pray and give and serve? Why do we do that? Is it because leadership here is really slick in our promotion and we twist people's arm? No, it's not that, because we don't do that. Is it because we put people on guilt trips if they don't put money in the offering plate or don't come to church? No, we don't do that either. The reason that good things happen here is because individuals in this church have found God to be faithful to them. And they respond to his faithfulness and his goodness. And then as a church, we do that together. We are here because of God's faithfulness. Folks that have been in this church for many years, they've come, they've gone. I've buried so many in the last 25 years. God was faithful to each one of those individuals. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. People in this church have found God personally to be faithful. But you know what? Things haven't always gone smoothly for them or for this church. Are we here today because we flawlessly executed all of God's works for us? No, we haven't. We've stumbled. We've faltered. We've had our struggles, but God is faithful even when we have been unfaithful. I want to give you an example of this. Abraham in the Old Testament, when he was 75 years old, he was a pagan, living in a pagan family. God worked in his heart and said, get out of your country and away from your family into a place that I will show you. And because Abraham believed that God is faithful, he left. Years went by. God had promised him a country, a nation. God had promised him a son from his wife, Sarah. 25 years went by. No country, no son. No child. Abraham sometimes wearied and wavered in his confidence in God's faithfulness. But you know what? God was still faithful. God was still faithful. And when Sarah was 90 years old, she brought forth Isaac. Now, how's that for a news item in the Wakarusa Tribune? And from that son, Isaac, came Jacob and Israel, and from Israel the King David, and from King David the line of kings right down to our Lord Jesus Christ, King of kings and Lord of lords. God was faithful to Abraham, who wavered. That's what Paul was talking about in the New Testament when he said, if we believe not, yet he abides faithful, he cannot deny himself. God knows that we are weak. He is faithful to us in our weakness. Now, that doesn't mean that we should excuse sin. No, but what it does mean is that we should magnify his grace and faithfulness and respond to that with our loving obedience and purity of life. Abram made some questionable decisions. He made the same mistake more than once. Any of you ever done that? Fouled up, same thing. He did it. He resorted to unbiblical shortcuts to accomplish what he wanted to get done. But you're sitting here today as a faithful child of Abraham by faith because of God's faithfulness. We're not here as a church because we've made every decision right. We're not here as a church because leadership every time has had the perfect act. We're not. We're here because God is faithful in spite of our mess ups. Talking about the church, let's talk about you. Let's talk about me for just a moment. Have you faltered and failed and really messed up in your Christian life? Let me tell you a secret. God can grow a lily in a manure pile. He can take a mess and make something good out of it. You've sinned against your Savior? What does the Bible say that a Christian should do? If we confess our sins, He is what? Faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God doesn't want you to stay in the manure pile. He wants you to get up. He wants you to repent. He wants you to follow Jesus. Listen, don't allow your past failures to dictate your future. Get up, get going, dust off. You will find God to be faithful. Some folks say, I've messed up so much, I don't know why He'd mess with me. Well, read the Bible. He messed with Abram and Isaac and Jacob and a bunch of other rascals just like you. This exalts His goodness and His faithfulness. Sometimes when you are walking with God and you're trying to please Him and you're walking in the light, things happen that break your heart, that hurt, that cause pain. You don't understand why they happen that way. Well, back to Abraham again. God had given a promise. You're going to have a son someday. God, after 25 years, gave him that son. That son grew up to be a teenager. Isaac. And then one day God told Abram, you take your son, your only son, Isaac, and you take him up to Mount Moriah and you sacrifice him there. Sacrifice him there. We know that God didn't really want Abram to do that, but God wanted to show His faithfulness to Abraham as Abram obeyed. Can you imagine Abram going up that hill with his boy, carrying the wood and the coals for the fire? Can you imagine that man thinking about the promise that God had given to him that from Isaac there would be thousands and thousands and thousands and millions of people? And so here's Abram, and he's got a promise from God, and he's got a command of God. And they contradict. We know from the New Testament that Abram had such confidence in the faithfulness of God that Abram assumed that God was going to raise Isaac from the dead. That's how much confidence he had in the faithfulness of God. He knew God was going to keep His promise. And God stopped him before he put the knife to his son and provided a ram in the thicket. God showed Himself faithful. There are going to be situations in your life, dear Christian, that you're not going to be able to understand. That it's going to be just contradictory to what you think ought to be. The writer of the book of Hebrews encouraged some other Christians who were walking with God, who went through terrible times because they were doing right, not because they were doing wrong. And he said to them in Hebrews 10, walk with God. He said, hold fast the profession of your faith without wavering, because God is faithful. he said, who has promised. So I want to encourage you to walk with God like Abraham. You will find him faithful. Be like Moses, who encouraged the children of Israel right when they were getting ready to go into battle. He said, know therefore the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God. He pointed to God's faithfulness. Be like Joshua, who at the end of his life looked back over several decades of battles and victories. And he said, not one thing has failed of all the good things which the Lord God spoke. Not one. God has not failed. He is faithful. The prophet Jeremiah is called the weeping prophet. We have his laments in the book that I asked you to open to just a little bit ago. This dear man of God, living within the will of God, serving God, suffered heart-rending grief because of the wickedness and apostasy of the people that he had to preach to. They wouldn't repent. They kept sinning and sinning against the God who loved them. Jeremiah's sermons were accompanied by many tears and sorrow. And at one of the many times that he had peaks of emotion and despair, he wrote these words that we have in Lamentations chapter 3, starting with verse 18. Take a look at them. Notice what attribute of God that he emphasizes, even in his distress. Lamentations 3:18, when things got so bad, I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. Remembering my affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall, my soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seek him. Great is thy faithfulness. During the last 150 years, our church and individual members within our church, we've experienced times of wonderful rejoicing and victory, and we've experienced times of defeat and disappointment. We've learned how to be abased. We've learned how to abound. We've learned how to be hungry and be full. We've learned indeed that God is faithful. We've learned, and we will learn again, to commit the keeping of our souls unto our God who is faithful, Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, the prince of the kings of all the earth, who has washed us from our sins in his own blood. We have learned, and we will learn as individuals, again as a church, to echo from our hearts these words of Jeremiah, who said, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Psalm 89:1 says, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever, and with my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness. That's just what the choir is going to do right now. They're going to extol the faithfulness of God. Be encouraged. Walk with God. Love him. Serve him. Depend upon his dependability, his faithfulness.